You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Scarface is in the building. Collectively, we are the Ghetto Boys.
Reloaded.
Reloaded with another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, Ghetto Boys. Yeah, man. Another incredible week.
It went by. It went down.
Another incredible week. It went down. Went down, man. Went to the premiere of the Deion Taylor movie, Fear,
okay,
in Hollywood.
Knock it out the park.
Knock that thing out the park. Let me tell you something about me and these horror films. It's a horror film.
Is it really?
A horror film.
No way.
So, I typically don't do anything fictional and all that stuff. And it takes years between.
Stop. Was you scared?
I was not scared. Okay.
Get the fuck out of here, Willie. You wasn't spooked at all.
Let me explain something.
You didn't jump.
Let me explain something to you. It takes years for between horror films for me to like really like a horror film. And this is the one. Like, no, I did not jump and all that kind of shit. I wasn't scared because squirming in your chair and screaming and shit ain't gangster. So I would not ever do some shit like that.
But did you feel some type of way?
But I did catch a few chills.
No shit.
Caught a few chills, man.
God damn.
I'm simply like it was serious. Like, cause I'm like, I already know it's gonna say cut. You know, I know shit ain't real. You know, it
right,
ain't real.
I know, but it's so, some, they put you in there though.
But it put me there, bro.
Yeah. I like, you know,
damn.
I got, I really got captivated by my cousin's performance, Malika Franklin, in Mandela, the film, I mean, the screenplay in New York. Uh-huh. So I went to go see her act, right?
Right.
And it was just something about those actors that made me forget that that was my fucking cousin playing Winnie Mandela. Oh, it was,
she
was
killed
like,
it.
Wow.
She killed it.
Oh, man. But she been trained for that, man. So she real good, man. But it didn't dawn on me that was my cousin until, you know, I was like, damn, that's my cousin. You know, she invited me to the play anyway, yeah. But I just got lost in it. So I understand what you're saying about, it's cut at the end.
Right.
But it's like, damn, like I was in the play.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying, man, about being in there like, damn.
I felt that way when Jamie Foxx played Ray.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, it's Jamie Foxx is playing Ray. He's playing Ray. It's a biopic. He's playing Ray.
For sure.
But
he killed
inside
it.
5 minutes,
yeah.
Man, Jamie Foxx was Ray Charles.
Big time.
That was Ray Charles.
Big time.
I think the next time I saw Jamie, I damn near called him Ray. No. Like, Ray, come here, man. It was real, man. But beautiful, man. You know, shouts out to Deion Taylor and Roxanne, his wife.
Yeah.
A husband and wife duo in Hollywood, black and
wow.
And two of the best in the game.
I'd like to have a really conversation
and
with
independent.
Them. I would love to have a conversation with them because, you know, I got some sick-ass twisted thoughts, right?
Yeah.
I need to talk to them.
You do.
Yeah. Willie, it's a... So the Martin Luther King holiday passed. It just passed. And it's probably gonna really upset you, but I'm kinda not cool with it.
Why not?
Because out of all of these fucks that have days, you know, year round, we only got one day to celebrate our heroes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, we only got one. Like one hero that we really acknowledge.
Yeah, we only have one hero. Mm-hmm. You know, let the rest of the world tell it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of heroes that are going unrecognized, and we should have days for them.
Right. You know, we should just start the shit, man. We don't need, I don't think we have to wait on America to say, okay, it's a holiday.
But it needs to be federally accepted and recognized, though.
That's good. But until then, we need to just do our own shit. Like, fuck them.
Like we did on Martin Luther King Day, right?
Yeah. We just need to start saying fuck them and just do our own shit until they catch up. You know, it's just like making this music. We didn't cross over. They crossed over to us. So we make our music. We go out and do our shit. And then if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. But we're going to keep it moving no matter what. And that's the way we need to do when it comes to celebrating our heroes.
Why is... Oh, shit, so much going on, Willie. Why is American history every day something happens, but we have 1 month, the shortest month in the year? I'm not going to ask why, but I'm like, fuck, man.
But you know, that's always that type of stuff.
I know, but we know why.
Intentional, man.
We fucking know why.
Yeah.
It's very much so intentional, man. And, That the shit's just bothering me, man. It's time to say something about it. It's time. It's time to be vocal about it. It's time to be. We need to put some action in place, man. Because we big. Our history didn't start at slavery,
right?
Okay, and it's illegal. It's taken out of. They're getting ready to take. African American history out of the state of Florida.
Shit, he already banned it. It's banned.
It's gone.
Ron DeSantis, you low down dirty scoundrel. Boy, your mama should be embarrassed and your daddy should have pulled out.
And left you on the mattress.
You are one of the worst. Good God. Who raised you? What a low life. Boy, you are a sad excuse for a human being.
What is the
How
excuse?
Do a woman look at you and get wet? Good God.
Damn it, Willie.
This dude banned AP African American Studies. Advanced placement, AP. Banned it. Straight up, we don't want it. Not in Florida.
Texas is next.
Absolutely.
Louisiana is next.
Yeah.
They are. Mississippi is next.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
But that's how it go. You know, they, yeah. You know, the trip part about it is that if you're so, I don't understand how you can be so ashamed of your history and so proud of it at the same time.
Mm.
I don't understand how that works. You know, either you love it or you hate it. Either you support it or you reject it. Terrible, what is it?
Man. Terrible.
You know, it's like, what is it? And how do you expect to be respected by the world, let alone your own citizens?
It's wrong.
Huh?
It's all bad.
How do you expect to be respected when you won't even tell the truth, when you omit the truth, when you know for a fact, when people already know what the truth is?
Yeah.
Now, you omitted it for a long time and people didn't know. Well, now we know.
Yeah, and then okay? You omit it, period.
Now, the masses
know. Totally.
And you decide, well, doesn't matter that you know. We still ain't going to teach it. We still ain't going to talk about it. How do you expect to have respect?
A friend of mine used to always say, man, a man who doesn't know his past is destined to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, you know, three generations down the line and this history is not being taught no more. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I'm looking at how this country is playing the long game. You know, they playing, they looking, you know how we looking 30 years ahead? They looking 130 years ahead. You know what I mean? Like, they want to make for sure that our history is wiped and we don't know nothing about slavery. So when they come back in here and grab our ass again and start selling us off to, you know, some farmers or some shit that need free labor again, we won't know nothing about what happened the first time they did it. All sanctioned by the U.S. government, mind you.
I already know it ain't no coming back from it. I already know it ain't no mercy. I already know it's no empathy. I already know it ain't gonna stop. So, you know, and that's part of what kept it going for so long. You know, a lot of our people who came over here, they thought they were coming to greener pastures.
Right.
They thought they were coming to
be servants just like they were in Europe.
Yeah, they thought they was coming to have a better life. And even when they were being treated wrong, they thought it would get better. And right. Even the first... You know, week, they thought, okay, maybe this will last a couple more weeks like this. And or maybe this is the only
guy. Got worse
maybe
and worse.
This is the only one that's doing it like this. Well, maybe the rest of the country don't know that this is happening out here.
Is it true that when the servants went to Europe or when the Africans worked in Europe, that they were treated, they weren't beaten and hung and shit, but they were sold. But they worked in the house. They had to. The same kind of garb on and shit, right?
They were brutalized just like they were over here.
No shit.
Yeah, they just slowed it down fast over there.
Okay. Okay.
They were brutalized. Okay. And they were beaten. Don't ever think.
Okay.
They were some type of kind owners.
Well, they weren't kind.
Kind.
They were still servants. I mean, they still got treated like shit, but they were considered servants.
I'm talking
servants.
About the overseers.
Right. Okay.
Don't ever think that they will.
Well, I stand corrected, but I still know what you. I still know that there was some brutal shit happening.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way this could have took place. But looking back at 1883, in Pace versus Alabama, the Supreme Court upholds a law that criminalizes interracial sex and marriage. Okay.
That was what year?
That was 1883. In 1956, on this day, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s house in Montgomery, Alabama is bombed. While he speaks at a mass meeting, King later addresses the angry crowd and pleads for nonviolence.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they gave King the Nobel Peace Prize. Because he took the nonviolent approach.
You know, I saw, I heard a song. Oh, damn, what was the song? But my point is that, you know, the people that was talking about Martin Luther King in this song, this guy that was rapping about Martin Luther King, he was rapping like, you know, it was more, it was, you know, it came off like, you know, the verse came off like it was some militant type stuff, or it was like some conscious, put it like that, conscious, right? A conscious rap song where he's talking about all of the things that happened throughout history, you know, the injustices and the misjustices and all of the successes that Black people have had, well, many of the successes that we've had and all this type of stuff. So we've had that kind of vibe to it, right? That, you know. But then they get to the hook and then they stress, but he did it, but nonviolence. And so it was like, I'm listening to it and I'm like, who co-signed this shit? Like, who allowed this song to go out? Who said this was cool to put out? Because ain't no way I would have put a song out like that with the hook stressing nonviolence, because that is not, nonviolence has never been the way to freedom. Nobody in the history of civilization has ever won their freedom without violence. Nobody just gives you freedom. Nobody.
I agree.
America didn't get its freedom through without violence. You dig what I'm saying? Like, you know, the British didn't get their freedom without violence. You know, Mexico didn't get its freedom without violence. No
so
country.
So we're not going to get our freedom without no violence.
We're not. But we got a lot of people that thinks that, you know, like when you start, it's like everybody can talk about fighting for what their independence, their liberation. And people say, yeah, that's noble, man. Yeah, I'm going to fight for mine too. Yeah. Everybody understands that when everybody else says it. But if a Black person said, yeah. Ooh, oh man, we gotta
violent.
Watch him.
He's violent.
Watch him. You gotta watch him. He's angry.
Yeah, he's an angry Black
man. Watch him. You gotta watch him. You gotta put him down. And so, and they got so many people out there that's ready to tell you for them. Hey, calm down, man. Just calm down.
I can't calm down.
We gonna get there. It just takes time.
How much more time we need? I mean, shit.
Shit, it didn't take DeSantis no time to ban that.
That shit was done with a stroke of a pen.
Just days in his second term.
He just went up there, a fucking pen, bro.
Yeah. But that's how they've always been able to get by. Just write it in the law. They just write it in the law. Like, whatever you want to do, morality don't count. It don't mean nothing.
Okay.
Morality don't mean nothing. Everybody knows that America doesn't have a moral compass. And if it does, it's broken. It's been broken a long time.
Man, it's crazy.
So this guy, Ron DeSantis, he does what America has always done when they want to circumvent being civilized. They just write something in the law. And once you write it in the law, then if you don't adhere to that, then it gives them a right to take you down. So that's how they do it. And that's how they've always done it.
This is why
they fight so hard to do redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to redraw those lines.
That's cold blood,
and move,
man,
those votes around to this side. You know, even though the houses and the people that live in these houses are in the same place and they have access to the same inferior resources and stuff in their communities, they draw the lines so that they can get more of those people.
Mm-hmm. And start moving their ass out the way.
So they can get more of those people. They draw the lines actually to carve more of those people out of that voting block.
Sweet.
So they can have more action for their constituents, you know, for their mm-hmm. their area that they control.
Man. Hey man, so, listen to me, man. If you make the rules, you control the game. right? Mm-hmm. I don't want us to ever feel like we have control of the game because we don't make the rules. You know, we do not make the rules, so we can't control the game, bro. I was listening to somebody on this news station that we don't really fuck with talking about gun control and how they are scared to lose their rights to have guns.
Why is that?
It ain't enough UFC fighters or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this, bro. They have their reasons, and I have my reasons for not wanting to give up the guns.
I have my reasons too. You know what? Let me tell you my reason first. Ask me why won't I give? Come on.
Yeah, why won't you give up your guns?
Because they won't give up theirs.
Okay, simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give up yours first. And I'll consider giving up mine.
I'm still ain't going to give up mine because they ain't going to never give up theirs. They're going to still lie and say they giving them up, but okay. they never going to give up them guns. Yeah.
Notice I said I'll consider giving up mine.
Some people, they need them guns because their asses can't fight. Without them guns.
I don't need a gun.
Without them guns, oh, man. They'll just be getting pimp slapped all day. So they got to have guns. They got to have a gun. Like, if you look at most of the mass shooters that you've seen, corny-ass square dudes that you know.
Man, what about the guy in Idaho or Iowa? Where the fuck that strange-looking guy is to kill the students? Where was that at?
Which students? At? We had a few hundred mass murders at
schools. No, it was some students, man. The guy snuck in their house. I think it was in Idaho, Iowa. He was a creepy looking fucker. I'll look it up and give you some more detail and information about it. It's like Dahmer.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you familiar with that, the guy who was convicted and incarcerated for raping this white woman who dreamed he raped her? You're not familiar with that? She dreamed he raped her.
When was this?
And they put this man in jail.
When was this?
This happened.
How many years ago?
This was back in 87.
God.
This
damn.
Happened in 87, but he did 28 years.
Uh-huh. And they get ready to.
He did 28 years. He went to trial again.
I heard about this.
He went to trial again. Mm-hmm. The second time, he was acquitted.
Exonerated.
He was acquitted. And he sued. They gave him like $1.9 million or something, some shitty number. But you know how they go after they take down what they want. They take back what they want. But the trip part about it was that the dude wasn't even there. Okay, so this is how it went. This happened in Denver, Colorado. The woman who they call T.S., right? They just call her by initial. They won't even tell us who she is. But they got his face everywhere. So she goes to a party. This is what she says. She goes to a party. She comes back home. Three guys force their way into our house and rape her. I mean, back up. A guy forces his way into her house and rape her. She gives the police and her sister the names of three black guys who were at the party she was with. One of the guys being this guy named Clarence, what was his name? Moses L. Clarence Moses L. Okay. Now, they go to looking for this guy. They initially, they don't look for him. They're looking for these other guys. But then she gets to the hospital and she has a dream. And she tells, oh, it's this guy. So they go arrest him, run him through the system, railroad him. The whole time he maintains his innocence. For all these decades, he maintains his innocence. Finally, one of the guys who she initially named as a suspect or a potential suspect, admit to raping her. He was doing time for several other rape charges, sexual assault charges. He admits, and they finally let him go. This is when he's acquitted. You know, he got a new trial and he was acquitted. But even after all of that, this woman still said, well, he's still the one who did it. She's still claiming he did it. Even after DNA, and that's something I didn't mention, the other inmates, they raised $1,000 for him to get a DNA test, get the DNA testing done.
Mm.
And when the DNA, they got the money for the DNA test and they had the kit.
Mm.
The original detective on the case, a guy by the name, I think, is Huff, James Huff.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote on the box, big bold letters, do not destroy. Somehow, some way, he orders the evidence to be destroyed because nobody told him how important it was. So the man languished in jail for another 8 years before the DNA exonerated him. Well, not the DNA exonerated him, but the other guy.
The confession exonerated him.
But listen, man, the dude was convicted because this chick said she dreamed he raped her.
What's her penalty for this?
Her penalty?
Yeah, what is her penalty for doing this shit?
She can't show her face. That's it.
That's all?
That's it.
She ain't finna do 28 years for this, for the wrongful nothing. Conviction?
She don't do
I think
nothing.
The judge, man, that's some fucked up shit, man.
The is judge? That- but listen, it was a conspiracy. They knew. They had the evidence. They knew. But they wanted him to do the time. So nobody
judges,
paid
man?
The judge, the prosecutors, you know, they suppressed evidence.
This is a fucked up system.
They destroyed evidence, and nobody went to jail. Nobody.
And you know what? I think that when them judges get busted doing unlawful sentencing and convicting, I think the judges, the district attorneys, and all them motherfuckers need to do that time.
They should be held to a higher standard than us.
And to do that time.
Because if one of us committed an act that egregious, they'd have a law that would put us in jail.
They should have that act that they're committing is egregious also. You took that man's life away from him. How old was he? 18, 17, 16 years old or some shit?
I don't know.
But took his life from him. Gave him $1.9 million. Come on, dog.
Yeah, they did him
dirty. Stop, man. That should be in the lines of like civil rights issues, man. Like his civil rights are violated, Willie. They violated that man's civil rights, man. They locked him up for nothing. They put him in slavery.
But see, that only matters to us and a few others. You know, it don't really matter to the people who are hired to show us no mercy. We're going into these spaces and whether we're guilty or innocent, we're looking for mercy, you know? You're still looking for mercy, and we're looking for mercy. We're looking for people to show us mercy who was hired to not show us mercy.
Okay.
They were hired to actually incarcerate us and make our lives hard.
Sure.
This is what they do. So this is why they feel nothing. This is why a judge can dig into his pocket and count the change in his pocket. And if he count 38 cents, that's how many years you get.
God damn.
You get 38 years.
Remember, what's that boy?
Judge Poe used to do that.
Ted Poe,
yeah.
He used to make you walk however many steps it took for you to get to his bench was the amount of years he was going to give you.
Yeah, he was a low-down, dirty mother. You're sorry.
I'm going to make you laugh.
Riding uncivilized mutt.
He ran up. He didn't run up, but he was sentencing a guy that was kind of sharp, you know, that had a super sharp mine. And he Ted played it, however many steps that it takes for you to get to me, that's how many years I'm going to give you.
What dude rolled?
He rolled. Let him go.
Is that right?
Cut him loose. But we got an unfair.
But look how dehumanizing that
it
is.
It is, man.
You know, you got the road of freedom.
You're right. You know, think about how dehumanizing being pulled over by your own people and they beat the hell out of you for nothing.
Hmm.
You know, what about the case in Memphis with Tyree Nichols, Willie? Riddle me that.
Yeah, bring me up to speed on that one.
So some Memphis police officers jumped this kid, beat him up real bad.
That was
the
four black cops. That's
yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Beat him up real bad, man. Took him to the hospital a couple of days later. Gone. Kudos to the Memphis Police Department for firing the officers on site. They fired them. They even fired the paramedics.
Yeah.
They even fired the paramedics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kudos for them doing that. But still, that shit shouldn't have happened, you know? And I'm always the first one to say, man, I don't think that people outside of the people that live in those neighborhoods should be responsible for patrolling them neighborhoods. You feel me? Because they don't have our best interests. And we don't speak the same language. You know what I mean? We don't share the same ideology on nothing.
But check this out, Brad. Let's say you're right about that. What happens when the people in our communities go outside of our communities and face those same laws, those same cops? They still get killed when they cross that line.
Sure do.
They're still gonna get brutalized when they cross. They'll just sit up and wait for them to cross the line. And riddle me this. Why is it that black cops, Asian cops, even Hispanic cops can work in white neighborhoods and they ain't out there beating the shit out of white folks and killing white folks? Why is that?
And they talk more shit than we do when we get pulled
Why
over.
Is that? Why is that? So it's not just a regional thing, you know what I'm saying? It's not just a proximity thing, you know what I'm saying?
It's a national thing.
You know, no. It's a cultural thing.
Come on.
It's a cultural thing. And, hey, man, ain't no way around it. Yeah, there's always an exception to the rule, but the rule is white cops kill black people in black neighborhoods all day, every day. The white cops are doing the killing. Y'all need to get y'all ass out of our neighborhood, straight up. That's all that is to it. But not just that. It's not just the neighborhood. It's killing black folks, period. So the white cops need to be profiled. Just like they profile, Middle Easterners on planes and stuff.
Yeah.
They still do it. Don't act like they don't. They still do it. They need to profile every single white dude who apply to be a law enforcement agent. They need to profile them. Straight up.
Some of the blacks too.
I said it's always an exception.
Yeah,
always. I said it's always an exception.
Always.
But we talking about murder, bro. We talking about murder. Even when you come with the blacks, they don't kill like these white dudes be killing.
But they will.
They will. But my point is that's an exception. I'm talking about the rule. These goddamn white cops is killing everything, and they trigger happy, and they're the ones who killing people for no reason at all. They're killing people, whether they're sitting inside of their own home, watching television, eating ice cream.
Playing the game.
Whether they're playing a game with their nephew and with their mama sitting on in the chair, whether they sitting in the park in a chair, whether they're outside, an 11-year-old kid playing with a gun, a play gun, whether they're selling loose cigarettes.
Bruh.
You know, it's like every single situation that a black person could ever find themselves in, you got a police who has killed them for being in that situation. A white cop who
for
has
sure.
killed them for
sure.
being in that situation.
For sure.
And these white cops need to be vetted. Here's the thing. Not just vetted. They need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, just like they do black cops. The reason why those the reason why those four black cops got fired that fast, because they black cops.
And
we're talking about Memphis, Tennessee. So Memphis ain't no less racist than none of these other damn cities around America.
Mm.
The reason why they got fired that fast is because they black. Point blank, period.
They going to jail.
If they was white,
they going to jail.
Who's going to jail?
Them four black
hell
cops.
Hell yeah, they going to jail.
Oh, shit.
Hell, they don't fire them that fast without somebody going to jail.
Oh, shit.
Oh, they going to jail.
God damn.
Yeah, they going to jail. But see, they don't mind throwing them away. But those other ones, they're like, nah, man, we hired y'all to do what y'all do.
5 years. Slave patrol.
We hired y'all to
slave
do what y'all
patrol,
do.
Willie.
Do. And they probably mad at the black cops for killing them because they wanted to kill them.
Damn. Don't forget what that badge mean, man, and you can look it up.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let me get a visual on that slave patrol badge. Yeah, don't get it twisted, man. That's what that badge mean, Willie. That's a slave patrol badge. It looked just like a sheriff's badge. It's got mm-hmm. the stars, but it said back then it said slave patrol.
You know, man, that? Look. The main thing that needs to happen is police officers, point blank, period, all police officers need to be held accountable for their actions.
Sure.
They need to be held accountable for their actions. There's no way possible a couple of cops should be in a situation where some dude is in an apartment complex eating people and shit. And some little juvenile kid is running for their life butt naked on the streets.
Shit.
And this guy can come back out, come find this guy and say, hey, he's okay. He's just drunk.
Damn it, man.
And walk him back
to the house
so that he can finish him off.
God
and
damn.
There's no way these guys should be promoted.
No.
And this is after
yeah.
it becomes a huge story.
I already know. Willie.
It becomes a huge story. This is them like just like wagging their authority in the face of the public, saying, you know what? It don't matter what we do. Yeah, we did it. It don't matter because it's us and we can do whatever we want to do. And to prove it to you, we're gonna give our guys a promotion.
Huh.
All at that point, the whole damn police department should have been shut down.
Mm.
It should have been shut down. And look, fam, I know some of y'all is losing y'all mind when y'all hear defund the police, but that's because y'all don't even understand what
defund the police
means. So go look it up. I know you ain't got the patience. I know some of y'all don't do nothing but read headlines and watch videos, but can you just Google it before you make another comment about defunding the police? Can you just Google it? Because I know y'all asses don't read. The ones who got a problem with it, I know you don't read. That's why you say what you say. Or you're part of the problem and you want to keep it going. So that's why you use your stance as a defense mechanism. You got a problem with it because that's your defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen
a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, as you already know, and I know you're happy, we just ain't talked about it. On another note, Dallas lost.
Oh, man, lost. Did Dallas even show up?
I think they did. They come. They was there.
They were there, but
yeah, they came.
But you know what happened, bro? The same thing that I said would happen.
What happened with
they were gonna conk out.
Stop.
You know, I was in Sherman Oaks, California, watching the game, and I'm at a sports bar, and the majority of people at the sports bar were Cowboy fans.
Really?
It tripped me out because, you know, I know what Cowboy fans look like in Texas. I know what it looked like in Houston and Dallas and Austin, San Antonio.
Hey, man, but I'm a Cowboy fan now.
Sherman Oaks in California?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Cowboys. The majority of
America's team.
I'm thinking because I'm in California that it's going to be a bunch of 49er fans up in there, right? And I'm thinking I'm going to have some camaraderie. You know, 49ers. Yay, go 49ers. You know, yeah.
They were mad at you, Willie.
Who?
In Sherman Oaks.
Yeah. Well, I had some 49er fans sitting next to me, and we were cool. And then I had some evil people that was rooting for the Cowboys behind me. Yeah. Yeah. Man, you know I can't rock with the Cowboys because I cannot rock with Jerry Jones.
Okay, well, time out.
I do
out,
not rock
out,
with Jerry Jones,
out,
so I cannot
out,
rock with
out,
the Cowboys.
Time out,
hey, Dallas. Hey, I love y'all, man. I love the people of Dallas. You know, I love the city, but I cannot rock with the Cowboys.
You can't rock with Jerry Jones.
Until Jerry Jones kicked the bucket. After Jerry Jones kicked the bucket.
You biggest Cowboy fan.
Fuck it. I'll ride with the Cowboys. Oh, and Dak got to go, and Ezekiel got to go.
What the fuck is in Ezekiel, Willie?
What's his name? It's not Ezekiel. What's his name?
That's cool. Leave it there.
What is it, though?
Ezekiel?
Yeah. I'm thinking about the Bible, man. You know.
Yeah, that's
Ezekiel
him.
Saw the wheel.
How the fuck you put him at sin? I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done.
I don't like those two. They don't have a spine. I don't like them. I don't like them because they don't have a spine. Look, man, if you're not gonna support our causes, if you're not going to support Black advancement, our movement, To get our fair share in this country.
Sure.
If you're not going to support it, just shut the fuck up. Just don't say nothing. Just get out of the way. You know, don't open your mouth and have that big platform and start yes a bossing and tap dancing and all that. And that's what they do. So I can't rock with those dudes.
Yeah. On another note, I'm thinking about the Houston Texans. I know this is old news, but they fired Lovie. Lovie won.
Horrible idea.
Wait a minute, but wait. They fired Lovie, and Lovie put that deuce up on them at the end and won the game to knock them out of the first round draft choice, right?
Again, which shows me the incompetence of that team.
That front office.
Exactly. Like, your ass ain't won a game all year. Okay, you won two games. All damn year, you've been getting your ass whooped. Just whoop the shit out of. Now you're the last game, and all you got to do is be yourself. Be your regular old losing ass self. And you win the damn game and trick yourself out the bag. Trick yourself out the first round draft pick. You dumb mother. Boy, you talking about dumb. Willie. Stupid.
Willie.
I can't rock with it, man. Man, so when does Astros season start?
They in spring training now. Listen, man. Are you telling me that you fought Lovie?
Huh?
You fought Lovie?
No.
You got to fought him because he went for two.
No, he did what they told him to do.
Who?
Them.
Who the fuck is them?
Come on, man. You know it's deeper than that. Look, it's too much money on the line, baby. It's too much on the line.
I know, and they were supposed to
lose. It's too much on the line, and everybody know what time it is. Going in the game. Going in. You already know what time it is.
How do you turn
who they talking to over there? Who, you know, perhaps the Vegas money was bigger than the lottery pick.
Probably was. Question. How do you turn around a team that's always had a losing record in one season? I mean, the Texans... And I hate that fucking name, mind you. Like, the Texans...
Oh, it was the worst name, worst name ever.
For real. It just makes you sound
It started off bad. Yeah.
It makes it sound like we wear cowboy boots and fucking 10-gallon hats. And that's not us in Houston at all.
Right.
Okay? For one. Now, how can somebody from Seattle... You know, you born and raised in Seattle... But you down here and they calling you a Texan. No, bruh. Right. You a Seattlean. Okay? You can never be a Texan. Yeah. Man, bring us back the Oilers, bro. Yeah. Bring us back the Oilers. Can we have, like, man, people in Pittsburgh, diehard Steeler fans. Steeler. I'm a Steeler. I got people down here with Steeler tattooed on their arms, man. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my homeboy Tony with the Steeler tattoo on him. But I'm just saying, man, if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you're a cheesehead, man. You can be a Packer.
But did Bud Adams take that logo and
is
and
Bud Adams still alive?
Did he take it to the grave with him? Maybe he said that's part of the deal. I'm taking my insignia with me, man. I'm taking it to the grave. Y'all not having it. Y'all cannot have the Oilers. Remember, he was pissed off. That's why he left in the first place. That's why he went to Tennessee.
But he did,
man. That's why he moved the team to Tennessee.
Give me that damn name back.
Would be a good idea. I would be the man.
We would be the biggest Oiler fans ever, man.
I would definitely prefer it over
Texans, right? Yeah. And I was watching Isaiah. Shout out to Isaiah Carey. And for those who don't know who Isaiah is, he didn't want to say, and in this day, and in this small little, the fuck is that? You got bugs and shit flying around in this motherfucker.
Get me out this country every time.
That's our homeboy.
You know, you sound good like Isaiah when you say that.
The fuck is that? So, they get ready to change uniforms, right?
Yeah.
They're getting ready to change uniforms. They're getting ready to change coaches. And hopefully they're getting ready to change quarterbacks. And hopefully they're getting ready to change the GM. Mm. It's time to go. You let the number one wide receiver, like D-Hop? I don't give a fuck what happens, Willie. Like, everybody, hey, Jalen, you got to stay. Petrie, you got to stay. You and the rest of y'all can go. Hop, you ain't going no motherfucking way. Come on back over here with me.
Man, look what they did to Andre's career, though, man.
They just hugged Andre. And then they sent him to Indianapolis.
After all that loyalty, man, that's why I say, man, let these players get their money, man. Y'all get y'all money, man.
Get your money.
Don't worry about these damn teams.
Look at Elijah, bro. Yeah. At least he got two out of it. But his name needs to be raised up higher in the greatest basketball players of all time.
Yeah, man, and why are they holding their nuts on Hakeem Olajuwon?
Man, that's the best.
Hakeem Olajuwon, bro.
Ever.
Ain't no center.
None.
Had the skill set of Hakeem.
None. Drilling.
No, all of that.
Jumper. Slamming.
Man, Hakeem of...
These people
had a fake so cold.
These people are looking at analytics. They're looking at analytics. They're not looking at skill set. They're looking at analytics. Okay? If we look at skill set, then Hakeem is the greatest center that ever played the game.
Man, Hakeem. And he got the numbers too. He put up numbers too.
He got numbers, man. I love the Admiral. I love Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Patrick Ewing. I love Shaquille O'Neal, but I don't see them in the same. I don't see them in the same light as I do Hakeem.
Man, Hakeem was that dude. It's just bottom line is that he was just that dude, and one of the reasons why Hakeem don't get a lot of praise is because he don't do a lot of media. He's not out there. He's not out there. You know, he don't do interviews. So. You know, out of sight, kind of like out of mind.
But guess who all the great basketball players get their footwork from?
Yeah.
They go see Big Dream.
Yeah.
They go see Dream. Kobe went to go see Dream. Yeah. Yao Ming went to go see Dream.
Dream Shake was so nasty. If I was like on a basketball court in the hood and he did that to me, I'd swing on his ass.
You better not swing on that big old African ass.
I'd swing.
Knock your ass out with it. That man's arm is from here to where you at right now.
Die right there on that court.
That motherfucker gonna hit you so hard, Willie.
He would die. He better kill me because he would die on that court.
He gonna,
I don't give a damn
about it. You hard in the motherfucker.
I'm the one who wrote size ain't shit. And I meant that. Hey. I don't give a damn about no size, bro.
That man fits that big. You don't fuck with Dream.
I don't give a damn about if his fist was big as his table. I don't give a damn. Anybody can get it.
Hey, man.
If you breathe, you bleed.
Hey, man. Shout out to Big Dream, man, and all of the other
And why you got me talking like that about Hakeem anyway? Man, you know that's my dude, man.
I love flaring you up, man. Dog.
Yeah, man, stop. Got me goddamn imagining fighting Hakeem Olajuwon.
Man, we got some fire teams. You know, potential, team potential. We need to change the Texans back to the Oilers. Mm-hmm. We need to work on these Rockets. And you know what?
I think what does the Rockets need, man?
They need Jim Crane. I think the Texans and the Rockets need Jim the Bottom Shits. Mm. Because man, the man know how to put people in place to win championships, Willie. Think about it.
But you know what? Also though, he put people in places who want to not just win for themselves, but want to win it for him. Cause he a good dude.
Fucking fantastic dude.
He's a good dude.
He deserves to win.
Yeah. A good dude. And he the type of dude, I seen him many times. You be around him way more than me. But, you know, I seen him many times, you know, just walk out into the crowd. People don't even know who he is. He's just walking. I'm like, look at Jim. Wait, man. I'm like, where you going, Jim? He's like, hey, gotta go. And he just there to be walking.
Out there with him.
Yeah, he just be out there walking. Just
cool as hell.
If somebody notices me, but you ain't gonna catch him because he be walking so fast.
He's moving. Now he'll stop and say hello, man. Yeah. Ask you how you are. Yeah, everybody.
I'm talking about when he on the move.
When he's on the move, he's on the move.
Gone, but yeah, man. He'll stop and just, you know, talk to people and
very good dude.
Just
man.
Yeah, like he got that very like that grounded, like that the regular guy type.
Yeah, yeah. So put those teams in the hands of people like that, man. I can guarantee championships, Willie. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're gonna be firing another head coach next year. Oh, D'Amico Ryan. He took the interview.
Is that right?
Yeah. Sean Payton.
I didn't know D'Amico Ryan was into coaching.
Shit, he coached the fucking 49ers. He the one that got on Dallas ass.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he the defensive coordinator for the 49ers.
I didn't know that. See, because I don't watch football like that. I ain't gonna lie, I'm fair weather. You know, the first full game of football I watched since the beginning of the protests.
What protest?
The knee.
Oh, goddamn, Willie.
Yeah, the first full game I watched was Dallas, that game they just played, Dallas and 49. And that is because I wanted to see the 49ers spank that butt. I wanted to see that, man. Where you going, bro?
Come on, man.
No, we got You got a little bit more time.
No, man, I'm not going to keep letting you do me like this, man.
Yeah, we got a little more time. Say.
I'll give you a few more minutes, man. But that, Willie, you don't watch football at all? Yeah. And you talking shit about the Texans?
I can look at the damn highlights and see motherfuckers getting drove. I can see that score. 50 to nothing. 50
so you just a boxing fan. You don't even fuck with football and basketball and baseball at all, right?
Nah, baseball, you don't fuck with baseball. But basketball, football, during the playoffs.
Hockey?
Playoffs.
Soccer?
No.
Soccer?
No.
Boxing?
Yeah, of course. Boxing. All day, every day.
Okay. Javonte and what's his name, Garcia?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
You know what it is.
Javonte?
All day, every day.
Tank gonna bust his ass up?
Go right over.
Shit. Boy, did you? I told you this night, right? When Tank was a little boy, when a little kid stole off on Tank and he hit his ass so hard he turned around and went back to his. I want to pull this up so people can see this shit, Willie. It's the funniest shit ever.
It's a video out there?
Of him when he was 7 years old, bro.
Yeah.
Tank was like 7 years old, man. That little dude hit Tank, ooh, 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 ooh. And Tank popped his ass, ah! Dude turned around and walked off like shit.
Tank hit the dude and the dude turned around and walked off.
hey, Willie. It's like he said, fuck that. Tank was like 7 years old, man. I want y'all to look that shit up.
Man, but what about that viral video that's out right now where the guy swaying on these two guys are getting the ring and the one guy throw a dummy jab out there.
Oh, and he stepped back
and
on
the other guy did like this here.
And hit it?
Nah. He did like this here. The one guy threw a punch, threw a jab, and the other guy was like, almost like he got hit with the jab, but he didn't. It was like, he threw the jab and the dude did like, he didn't even come close to the dude's face. The dude did like this.
I didn't see that.
He threw a punch like this. Looking away.
This shit ain't for everybody.
I posted it on my Instagram.
I'm gonna look at it. Hey, this shit ain't for everybody.
Say, man, this dude is crazy, man. But look, man, they need to fire these people that's putting these dudes in the ring like that. Like, these dudes gonna get killed.
Man, that like, ain't a place to play.
How do you put somebody in the ring like that, man? I'm talking about for a pro fight. I can understand if dude ain't never fought before. But even if he ain't never fought before, you do not put somebody in the ring, even in an organized amateur fight. You don't do that.
No, you don't.
You know, that this guy walked out there like somebody surprised him at his house. Like somebody came from around the corner and surprised him. And he wasn't really a fighter, so he wasn't even supposed to be there. Madness.
Oh, what the hell is this? So now I'm seeing it, and you know, it's not for everybody.
Mm.
It's not. Like that guy that you just posted on your page, he's gonna get killed.
I think that's his last fight.
I hope so.
Cause he lost and he lost without getting hit.
I don't even think oh man.
This dude didn't even get hit, man. And he just
he just knew that shit was gonna hurt.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, they need to be a little bit more mindful of who we throw in the ring. Like boxing, like rapping ain't for everybody. Football ain't for everybody. It's just not for everybody, man. Boxing is definitely not for everybody.
Man, can you imagine, like, at least when it comes to like football, if you got to be a bad motherfucker to get on that field. I don't care. You know, like we can joke about Dallas and we can joke about teams getting drove or whatever. We can joke about the Texans. True. But to get to a professional level of football,
you got
to
be the real deal.
You got to be a bad motherfucker, bro. You got to be, you ain't, it's so competitive. It's so many thousands of people vying for that one position.
Yeah.
Everybody, like all of these, think about all of the kids coming up from elementary to middle school, high school, college, and they're all trying to get up here to the NFL.
Yeah.
And all of them. So you got thousands of cornerbacks, quarterbacks, linemen.
Boy.
Cornerbacks, you know what I'm saying? Like safeties, like thousands.
You got to get to that level.
But you got to be a bad boy to get to that level. You got to be a bad boy to get to that level.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to the dudes who put the work in, man.
To make it,
shout out.
Like I was saying, D'Amico Ryans had been interviewed for the Texans head coaching position. Sean Payton. Who else we missing? There's a few more has been interviewed for the coaching position. But I think that until they change that general manager, Willie, we're going to keep getting, you know, new head coaches.
What's the general manager name?
Oh, golly, man. You would ask me some shit like that. Let me think here.
Is it
Nick Casario.
Okay. Yeah.
Nick Casario.
Yeah, see, a black coach, if a black coach come in,
he got
to win a championship the first year.
Yeah, but you don't have...
give black coaches a chance, bro. Like, I've seen white coaches come in, and he can be a losing-ass coach for six seasons. You know, six, seven seasons, he can lose, just like the coach that we had. The first couple coaches that came in.
Yeah, Kubiak.
They just lost for years.
Kubiak, yeah. They
lost for years. I mean, just get slaughtered.
And the dude they went to, who fucked up Alabama.
And they had job security.
Yeah, but he messed up Alabama, too, the other coach that was here. What was his name?
I losers escape me.
Yeah, losers. I don't blame you.
I can't remember.
But it's just some things that have to take place, and for this team to win a championship, and that's starting with the quarterback. That's the first. Well, you see how Barrow's showing. Well, you don't know about football, so I'll leave it alone. But yeah.
Well, I do know that this is the 57th year of football.
You just know that because Rihanna's playing the Super Bowl and Babyface is singing the national anthem. Don't do that, Willie. Don't do that, bro.
What does it matter why I know?
My ass.
What does it matter why I know or how I know?
Okay.
You know? But this is a 57th year of football. And no NFL team in Houston has ever won a Super Bowl.
Ben.
Has never been to a Super Bowl.
Have we ever been?
Has never been to a Super Bowl.
Well, at least I can say I took my little league football team to a Super Bowl a few times.
We had the Houston Gamblers.
They never went on Super Bowl.
They won a couple, not Super Bowls, but you know that.
A couple of playoff games?
No. They won regular a couple season? Of championships.
Bullshit.
They did.
Hey, you know, that's where your homeboy played at.
Who?
Herschel.
Oh, Herschel.
Yeah, Herschel.
Herschel.
Herschel runner.
Herschel.
Crawler.
Crawler, huh?
That's him.
Herschel Crawler.
Yeah, Crawler, yeah. But, the Gunners. We had the Houston Gunners. That's where that boy was at. That's where he started off at, right? I'm sure that. Yeah, he ended up there, one of the two. Yeah, let me think. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter because he probably don't even remember. You know, that boy got that CTE.
That boy got, but he punched drunk. Didn't he used to box too?
Yeah, I think he boxed one or two
maybe.
Times.
Maybe. Did Herschel Walker
box? Was that him?
I don't think so. No, it wasn't him. That was Kenny Norton. That was Kenny Norton. No, that was his daddy that was a boxer.
That was Highsmith.
Highsmith boxed.
And Too Tall Jones boxed.
Man, Too Tall Jones, my partner.
Yeah.
That would look like you're about 53 years old, under 60.
Hey, how young is too young to get a tattoo? What's a good age limit?
I did mine when I was 8.
Yeah, but you was a wild, uncontrollable child.
And my homeboy did my shit with a needle and some Indian ink.
In his garage.
On the front porch.
A needle and what?
Some Indian ink.
Indian ink. Okay, so okay. Now that you're a grown man and you've lived a little, and you have kids of your own, you know you've been around the world, you've seen some things. How young is too young? Now, the reason why I'm asking is because this lady in New York, I was reading her story. It's a story from a few years back. She lived in Highland, New York, and she got arrested for permitting her 10-year-old son to get a tattoo on his forearm, on the inside of his forearm.
That's some crap.
Now, she said that she thought the tattoo was temporary, you know, after they arrested her. But guess what? They didn't just arrest her. They also arrested the tattoo artist.
That's some bullshit. What was the charge?
Some type of endangerment to a child.
That's some
bullshit. But here's the thing. Like, in New York is one of the cities that don't, that requires a child to be at least 18 years old to have a tattoo. There are other states around the country that will allow kids to get a tattoo and has no age limit. But as long as they have parental consent, they can get a tattoo.
Well, here's my thing. The first thing that I would tell my kids that want to get tattoos is they don't go away.
What if your child is 5 years old and they want to get it? Do they even comprehend that they don't go away?
That's not even up for discussion.
So you wouldn't allow your 5-year-old to get a tattoo?
No, you ain't got no fucking. What the fuck you gonna get a tattoo for?
Okay. Let's
keep going up by five.
Let's go 10. Okay, 10 years. Two years. Okay, there it is.
15 years old? No.
15 is high school.
I don't give a fuck. You live in my house.
Okay. So too young is living in your house.
Yeah, you can be 26, so they can be 27, 28, 29, 30 fucking years old. You live in my house. You're not going to bring no tattoo in my house. Because I know what tattoos are. I know they don't wipe off. And then you got shit on your arms that's going to last you a fucking lifetime. And when you get my age, you're looking at these fucking tattoos like, God damn, what the fuck was I thinking? I got a tattoo of a motherfucker blowing his brains out on my arm. What kind of shit is that? But I was young.
You know? Well, being young is no excuse for ignorance.
Yes, it is. That's the excuse. That's the only excuse.
It's a reason. It's not an excuse. You know why? Because if you go out there and shoot somebody, you're still going to jail. Might be a reason you did it, but it ain't going to be an excuse.
It's still an excuse. But it don't clear it up. Ignorance is no excuse for the law, true and well and true enough. But, okay.
Okay, listen. There's youngsters out there who don't know Ghetto Boys music. When we were young, now check this out, and people say, well, you know, they like to, people like to say, well, wait, she's young, she don't know, or he's young, but I'm letting them, I'm turning them on to it, right? But when we were younger, we knew.
We goddamn sure did.
We knew Stevie.
And we knew him when we heard him.
The Stylistics, we knew.
We knew that shit. The
Gap Band, Commodores.
We know them.
Bootsy. You know, we knew George Clinton.
Marvin Gaye, name it. Smokey.
We knew Sting. We know them all. We knew Sting. We knew the Rolling Stones.
We knew
the Police.
We knew Kiss. Tom Petty. Iron Maiden.
We knew. Black Sabbath. We knew. We grew up.
Motley Crue.
We listened to it.
Yeah, we did.
Because our parents listened to it, and they opened us up to it. You know, my mom listened to R&B and soul. Dad listened to pop, soft rock.
Okay.
Not pop, but soft rock.
Okay.
That was my daddy's station.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, I know so many artists in those genres, and I'm so familiar with that music. I got to rock and roll on my own in... when I was 17,
okay.
I started listening to rock.
And I'm
but you grew up on
yeah,
rock.
Yeah, I probably.
But I didn't pick up rock until I was 17 later on in life. And that was kind of late for me. You know, that's late. But I picked it up. But again, though, youth is no excuse. That's why I say youth is no excuse for ignorance because, you know, you can learn a lot of things. I can get it. It's a reason, right?
I can't say that you're ignorant because you don't know music.
You know what it is? I think people get offended by the word ignorant.
Or ignorance.
Yeah,
Is ignorant and ignorance the same definition? Yeah. I'm asking. Yeah. Is ignorant and ignorance...
Well, it's a variation, of course, because it's two different words, but they're in the same family, you know?
Okay.
I think people get offended by the word, how you use the word. But, you know, I think we're saying it's pretty much the same thing.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just talking shit. You talking shit.
I wouldn't have it no other way. I love to agree and disagree with you all at the same fucking time. What do you mean?
But I do believe that the parents, if you listen to a lot of kids today, when they say, well, I'm young or whatever, that's because their parents did. Their parents listen to their music.
The parents listen to the same shit. The parents
are listening to the music the kids are listening to.
Yeah.
And today, they listen to the same music. So, and a lot of times, the kid hop in the car and the kid control the radio station.
Anytime I go to the East Coast.
You could not control the radio station when in the car. You could not control the station
and
the radio in the car. When you jump in the car with your mama or your daddy. Yeah. You know, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But now the kids jump in the car and they control the car. They control, you know, what's being played on radio. The parents are listening to the kids' playlist, whereas we listen to our parents' playlist.
Yeah.
So that's the big difference. But wow, man.
It's crazy. It's a crazy world.
Wild, crazy world.
Wouldn't trade it for nothing. The kids listen to, the parents listen to what the kids listen to. And you know what? For the first time in my life, man, and I want to go back. Do you remember when we first started going to New York and we was doing new music seminar and shit and people was booing us and shit?
Yeah.
Right? Remember that?
I'll never forget it.
And then we go back to Madison Square Garden, and then we get a standing ovation, right?
Yeah, and at the Apollo.
And at the Apollo.
Yeah.
But just imagine how hard it was to break into the East with our music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it went from the way it was to rapping like the subject matter that we rapped about, right? And then it changed again. So now you hear people, you hear rappers on the East Coast sounding like they from the South. I ain't never just walked up on somebody until now and just heard that. Like, man, you in New York, bro. What happened to the New York accent? You know what I'm saying? Like, man, put your tongue in your mouth and talk.
You know what? I was about to say it's kind of funny, but it's really not. It's really not.
You sound like you talking like this.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, like, what's, I would say, like, it's sad to hear some New Yorkers, real New Yorkers who really love New York hip hop, have to acquiesce to the sounds of New Yorkers behaving like they're from
somewhere else.
The South, sounding like they're from the South
the
or somewhere else.
Everything.
Like, even the subject matter, because, you know, no matter what, New York rap was always conscious.
And top notch.
It had a consciousness to it. Even the party stuff had a consciousness to it.
Even the rough stuff had a consciousness to it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It always had a consciousness to it. And shit, that's over for the most part.
We all fish, better teach your folks, give him money to eat the next week he broke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Next week he's squeezing at your throat. You know, like you had game in rhyme back then. I had eight niggas growing up. Eight turned to seven turned to six niggas.
But that's why I
got
liked,
you in heaven. You know,
that's what I
rhyming.
That's what I liked about New York hip hop. I liked that it was different from our hip hop.
Right.
I liked that it was different from West Coast. That's what I liked about the West Coast.
Right, it was different.
That it was different from the Midwest. East Coast, and it was different from the Midwest. Yeah. I like that.
I love it. I love being able to listen.
We had that diversity.
I love being able to listen to hip hop and know where it came from. Yeah. I know who it is. Now I'm like, man, who is that? Is that so and so? No, that's so and so. I'm like, God damn, they sound just alike.
Yeah,
when we was growing up, that shit was called biting, man. 50 years of hip hop, Willie. 50 years in hip hop, bro. In all of my 52 years being here on this earth, man, I cannot believe that we have taken this turn. We have let this music slip out of our hands, and now it's being controlled by somebody who has no idea what this culture is or what this culture is about.
How do you get it back? It's too late.
Take all your shit down from streaming. Put it up on your website. You gotta be gangster, because they playing gangster with you. They're not leaving you an alternative. You gonna either play by my rules or your shit not gonna be on here. Okay, fine. You gonna either play by my rules or my shit not gonna be on here. Imagine if everybody took their shit off streaming platforms.
With De La Soul's music was off streaming platforms, they just put it back on.
They put it back on?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I guess they put it back on or they put it on for the first time. But anyway, I did see.
Okay.
Story.
Man, I'd make it to where you can get your shit on your website, man. Take all of that shit out, man, until they are willing to demolish those streaming sites, man. Because it's under a penny. And it costs you over $1,000 or something dollars or more to make a fucking song.
And all they're going to do is stroke a big one. They're going to stroke a fatty to somebody and prop them up out there as the example, and everybody
gonna
want
to
do what they're doing.
The
they're gonna chase.
Everybody gonna chase the rap.
Exactly.
Boy, that's cold blooded, man, and that's why that's why we continue to sit in the positions that we sit in. For every major corporation, and I ain't even just talking about music, I'm talking about in every major corporation in this country. You may have a black in a higher position, but you'll always have somebody higher than them. that don't look like them.
And that's a fact, Jack. That's cold-blooded. So, ask yourself, what are you doing to change the narrative? No more talk.
This episode was produced by A. King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When George Floyd got killed, I started reading a book called The History of the United States. And that's when I saw that Christopher Columbus was just as racist as Hitler. And I didn't know. Maybe you didn't either. Here we are, season three of I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either. In season three, we connect the dots from the enslavement period to things happening today. Binge season three of I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either on the Black Effect Podcast Network, the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.